good to have that testimony that you're saved from sin. We're singing 789. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And then our brother Samuel, as soon as we sing this, brother Samuel is going to come and share with us tonight. Praise the Lord. 789. And just want to run a few of these hymns past you tonight. And you know, they're true. They're so true. I shall see the King. This is what this hymn says. You know, you're going to see the Lord someday. You're going to go where He is. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, we're just a passing through.
Right.
Hallelujah. Like Abraham got up early in the morning, he looked for a city that had foundations, a city whose builder and maker was God. He looked for that New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. One day we're going to go sweeping through the streets of the New Jerusalem, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise His holy name. Now this is a great wee hymn. Again, how many people knows this one? There's two men in here, though. Three, four. This is like an auctioneer. You're bidding. Praise the Lord. You mightn't know the words of it, but you know it in your heart. It's just the three verses till it. And we'll try and sing it, and Brother Samuel's going to come. Amen. I shall see the King where the angels sing. I shall see the King someday in the back.
Singing. It was nice to sing them hymns, isn't it? And if you don't, like John says, if you never sing them, you never learn them. You know, some people, oh, I don't know this or I don't know that. But sure, the only way to find out about it is do it, isn't it? What are you standing on tonight? We're standing on the promises of Christ. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Not standing nothing else. Now while we're standing, we'll sing this just before we open God's word tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Standing on the promises of Christ, our King.
When the anointing of God is in the building, isn't it? The power of God is here tonight.
Amen.
Why is the power of God here? Because he says, where two or three are gathered in my name,
amen,
there I am in the midst. Amen.
Amen.
When he's in the midst, something's going to happen.
Yes.
It's not because of you or because of me or nobody else, amen, but because of what he said.
Glory.
He made a promise. Amen. Let's just bow our heads a moment tonight before we open God's word. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for thy anointing tonight, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for thy Holy Ghost power, Lord. Lord, we thank you that the anointing breaks the yokes. Lord, we pray that the yokes will be broken tonight. Lord, I pray you'll break the yoke of depression. Break the yoke of oppression. Oh, Lord God, break the yoke of sickness. Break the yoke of disease. Oh, Lord, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. Thou spirit of infirmity, we rebuke you in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, Lord God, we speak to every fiber of the body tonight, Lord, to blood pressure, to everything, every report that may be put forth, Lord. Someone with a bad report, Lord God, whisper into their ear a good report right now, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we thank you that you are the great physician, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for these hymns which were inspired by you, we believe, Lord. Words of victory, words of life, Lord. Lord, we pray tonight that they will sink into our hearts, Lord. Lord, let me step aside tonight, Lord. Let your word become, Lord, illuminated unto us, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name. Take over this service for the glory of God, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Tommy asked me for a title, but as per usual, I didn't give him a title. I'm not a very good man with the titles because I had decided what I was preaching earlier on, where I would have thought I had decided. And then I changed my mind this morning. And I hope that the Lord bless you. I'll just read one small portion of scripture and then you may take your seat. Matthew chapter 12. And we'll read verses 21. Matthew chapter 12 and verses 21. And if I have a title now, and the title is A Name You Can Trust. I'm going to talk tonight about a name that you can trust in, a name that you can trust. And it says here in Matthew chapter 12, verses 21, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. You may take your seat tonight. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. I've no watch, I've no way, I don't know. I am an awful man for a watch because a watch wouldn't last 2 minutes if I was wearing a watch. It would be tore out my erect, or my arm would be erect along with it. So the Lord bless you. You had a good watch. The battery's flattened. You know, some boys think they've entered into eternity. No need for time anyway. But you know, I don't believe we've got that far yet. But we're looking that way. The Lord bless each and every one tonight, and I trust that the Lord will bless you. A name that you can trust. Now, I just looked up this here, to trust. What does it mean to trust? It's all sorts of different meanings probably, but you probably know the basics of it. But it means a firm belief in the reliability, truth or ability of someone or something. It's a strong belief in someone that is reliable. Do you know, it's a great headline, isn't it? If you see a company, what does they say? You can trust in us. Trust. You know, the churches today will say you can trust in our organisation. You know, and there's a whole lot of creators trusted their money in a certain organisation.
Right.
And they lost the whole thing. They had money invested in all sorts of things, which Christian people maybe shouldn't, not the people that invested into the system, but the system itself had money invested into things probably it shouldn't have had money invested in. But you know, there's one thing you can invest in. You can make an investment for life. Did you ever hear that statement? Make an investment for life. We are a reliable, dependable company. You can invest in us. But there's only one name that is reliable and dependable and trustworthy.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And right away he says here, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. You know, the Gentiles were me and you. We weren't Jews. You know, Jesus said salvation is of the Jew. You know, well, you see the spirit that would be against them then, don't you? You understand where that comes from? It comes from the pit of hell. Any spirit that's against God's people. If God turns his back on the Jewish people, then every promise in the Bible's void. Because every promise in the Bible leads to show that God will stand by his people. And they are his chosen people. But you know, he took us, and his day was that Paul said, we are a wild olive tree, grafted into the original branch. But we're feeding off that life source. You're grafted in tonight. You're grafted into Jesus Christ. And he says, I am the husbandman and my father is the vine. That's what he said. He is the life source. You can trust on him. You know, as I was saying, you know, bronze. You hear about branding. Not like branding cattle in America. It's a different thing. But there's brand names. You know, everybody wants the brand name. They don't want to wear the of his clothing. They don't want to wear the bog standard thing. It has to have a brand name on it. I just heard in the radio the other day about schools, how that the money they were making, the schools were making a fortune of money out of fleecing the parents, as it were, by the children having to buy brand name clothing for their sportswear and different things like that. And then the schools were getting a percentage of money out of it. But then they would ask the parents to send them in a box of tissues and maybe two or three packets of toilet roll, or send in pencils and pens and basically go in and nearly do the teaching for them too, do all. So you see, that's the way the system has become, brand names. People want a brand name. If you meet somebody today, well, you see it, oh, I'm, yeah. What organization do you belong to? Oh, I never heard tell of that one before. Well, did you ever hear tell of the heavenly Jerusalem? Did you ever hear tell us where the headquarters is? The heavenly Jerusalem. You know, I don't belong to any organization. I belong to Jesus Christ. There's no organization that you can depend upon. There's none of them trustworthy. We've seen all now how it has all come out about the Catholic Church, how untrustworthy they were, and poor creatures their whole life put their trust in it. And people have put their trust into trying to buy relatives out of a place that a man with his figment of his imagination developed called purgatory. And creators pay their whole life to get a loved one out of that terrible place. A brand name. It's like a brand name, you know. It's a bit like, you know, cattle and Angus cattle nearly become like a brand name, didn't it? You go into a shop, that's Angus beef, it become a brand name, or Hereford beef. People want a brand name, but you know, you can't depend, don't worry about a brand name. This is the one name that you want to depend upon. There's no other dependables. You know, if you look up, as I say, if you looked about brands, it said, no, how do you get customers to trust in your brand? Now this would be if a company, say a company wanted to do something, how would they get customers to trust in their brand? It says that they would provide top-notch customer service. That's one thing. If you go in somewhere and you get good service, you'll say that place was good. They looked after me well, a good service. Well, how much more service can you get that God, it says that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's not just a brand employee, that's the truth. Some places have a brand employee. Come in, we'll give you this free. Buy 10 things, and get one thing free, but the percentage on the 10 things to cover the one thing that you think's getting free. But somebody hears the word free on their own to it. But there's something free tonight.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Run to him. He's free.
Amen.
He's free. Says, like, provide top-notch customer service. And one of the most, if not the most important ways of businesses to gain customer trust. That's one of them. It says, share positive reviews and testimonies. Share positive reviews. Well, here's a book tonight full of reviews.
Amen.
What's the first thing if you say to somebody, I'm planning on going somewhere? Did you read the reviews about that place, boy? Did you read the reviews? I've read the reviews.
Amen.
The review says,
Amen.
It's unimaginable the things that are in store for you and me. It's unimaginable. It's so wonderful the things that God has prepared for those that love him. The reviews are wonderful. There's no bad reviews. The devil will try to put you out a bad review. You know, did you ever notice if you try to look at anything on the internet or anything like that about William Branham? You'll get all the bad reviews. You won't hear tell of how that someone crippled, someone deaf and dumb came up. Have you ever listened to the testimony of T.L. Osborne where he says that wee girl come up, I think she was deaf and dumb, and he prayed a simple prayer and she could hear and she could speak. Because God was in it. That's a positive review.
Amen.
People want negative reviews. You know, it says, if you were a company, say, you would share your positive reviews, you would share positive testimonies. The other thing about it is, you have to be honest and transparent. Honest and transparent. Would you say that churches today are honest and transparent? A lot of times they're not honest and transparent. We know, as I said, the Church of Rome haven't been too honest and transparent with their members. They've been very covered up a lot of stuff. But now a lot of it, as they say, it'll come out in the wash, is the old saying, isn't it? If you have something hid, it'll come out in the wash.
Yes.
If you try to hide something, it will be found out.
Yes.
But when you put everything under the blood of Jesus Christ, nothing can be found of that because it is totally annihilated.
Yes.
The devil will want to tell you tonight, oh, I know about this, I know about that. Well, devil, it doesn't matter because God doesn't know about it anymore because God has forgot about it. He put it into the sea of his forgetfulness.
Yes.
He washed it in the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot cast it up again anymore to the person. Because God has removed it.
Amen.
Be honest and transparent. Now the word transparent means allow light to pass through so that the object behind can be distinctly seen.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful? He is the Father of light. And didn't the Bible say that in that place there's no need for the sun? Because he is the light there. He is, there's a constant light supply. There'll be no darkness. There'll be no night. There'll be no more suffering. You know, I love what it says in Revelations, and every tear will be wiped from their eye. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more sickness. Is that not a positive review? Is that not a positive testimony? Jesus Christ can heal, save and deliver. That's the review tonight. That's the positive testimony. And it is transparent. People say, oh boy, show me a case of this here. I never seen it. Well, there's plenty of testimonies. There's people alive today that could give a straight testimony and tell of God's healing power. You know, when my dad went one time to Morsarella's meetings in London, he met a man at that place and he was talking to him and he just mentioned William Branham. And the fella says, do you know him? I know all right of him. He says, when I was a young lad, I could drove over, I think it was a bulldozer or a heavy machine, completely wrecked his leg. And the doctors wanted to amputate his leg. But his mother was a believer. And she went to one of William Branham's meetings and she got a prayer cloth or she got it somehow. Where she went to the meeting or not, I can't be honest, sure about that. But she got a prayer cloth. She brought it to the hospital. And she believed God.
Yeah.
I'm talking about William Branham, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't necessarily have to be any particular man. I'm not promoting a particular man. I'm promoting the one man tonight, and his name's Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who's behind it, but Jesus Christ is the one that's doing it.
Amen.
You can be the vessel that he uses. You can be the contact point. You can be the point of contact. And you know, they took that in and laid that on that man. And the doctor said, we're going to have to amputate his leg because if it gets bad, it'll kill him. But she said, don't touch his leg. Give it away. She brought it in, put the cloth on his leg, and he was completely healed. And my dad seen him walking completely normal and completely healed. In Moore Sorella's meetings, there was a man come in with one leg shorter than the other. And he sat at the front of the meeting and he put the two chairs sideways and he set that man up. And he said, for all you people here that don't believe that God's still alive, watch this tonight. He believed what God could do. He had confidence in the brand. He was totally confident, totally sure. He had complete and full faith in what he was saying. When you believe in what you're saying, when you have total trust, you know, a racer or anybody, say them Formula One drivers or motorbike racers, they have to have trust in their machine. You have to have confidence if you're approaching a corner at high speeds that them tires are going to hold you to take that corner. You have to have trust in your brakes when you're in your car. You have to have confidence when you put your foot on the pedal that that car is going to stop. But you know, failures do happen in machinery and failures do happen in these things. But God's not a failure by any means. There's no error at all. There's no room for error. No room whatsoever. You know, when that man come up and got prayed for him, when he prayed for him, my dad said he shot out of the seat like a rocket. The leg just went like that. And he went clean onto his feet and he done laps around the building. He was totally healed. But the skeptics say it can't happen anymore. God's dead. The days of miracles has passed. Well, how can that be possible? Because he said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His mercy endureth forever. He never changes. You know, I just was thinking about that just when I heard them different statements about different things and how that people are attracted to a name. People wouldn't come here because of maybe the name. People won't come here because it's not maybe a big enough setup for them. They would need to have, there's people wants to be seen going to their place. They have to roll up and they have to be seen. Did you see me get into church? Did you see me? I was at church, I went three times in the week. I done this and I done that and I done something else. People wants to be seen and they want the tap on the back. You know, it's not about the pat on the back or what you think you have done. It's what's in your heart that matters. God sees on the inside. Do you know, like that boy went up to pray, one boy stuck his chest out. I thank God that I've done this, and I thank God that I've done that, and that boy had done nothing. But you know, that boy that done nothing, he said, oh Lord, he smote his breast, he never even looked up to heaven. He didn't even so much as lift his head, but Jesus said, he went away, accepted, and the other boy went away thinking he was a good fella with his chest puffed out like a rooster. But you know, it's not about that. It's what he has done for you. A name, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. If we turn in our Bibles tonight to Psalms, I've wrote down far too many scriptures. Well, I say that, you know, sometimes you get it in your head you shouldn't have a whole lot of scriptures, but you know, the Word of God says that you're blessed when you even read or when you even hear the Word of God. It brings a blessing. It's a blessing on itself, isn't it? Amen. Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. I'll read verses 1 and 2, and then I want to go on down and read a couple more verses, 9 and 10. But I'll read verses 1 and 2. He says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Why is that wonderful? I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. It doesn't matter what it seems to be like John said when you're singing. Don't worry about what it sounds like or this or that. Is your whole heart in it? Are you praising God? Praise God, no matter what it may seem like. Praise God anyhow. Amen. Praise Him with your whole heart.
Amen.
Put your whole heart into it. Do you know, like as I say, them men that's competing in sports and different things, they have to put their whole heart into it. They're dedicated. They're dedicated to what they're doing. Their whole heart's in it. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name. Excuse me. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. David exalted his name. Do you know that day when David went up to face the giant, he wasn't depending on a brand of armor. He didn't say, you know, when Saul said to him, take this armor. It probably was the best armor that you could get at that time. It was the best armor in the whole land. It was probably the best sword that you could get. It had the greatest brand name on it. Whoever was making the armory at the time, I believe that was the top class brand. But he wasn't depending on that. He said, I don't need that. But he took a sling with him. But he had something else in him. He had trust in what he believed. He trusted in the one that he had put his trust in. He knew he was trustworthy. And he knew that he could depend upon him. He said, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. And it says on down then in verses 9 and verses 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in trouble, in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. If you put your trust in him, he says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. You know, that's why I love Isaiah 53 when it says he's a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He knows what you're going through.
Amen.
He has feelings. Do you know all the false gods in the world, that's one thing they never had. All the false gods never had a feeling, did they? Because they were a statue. They were a form. You know, a believer brother shared that there with that opening that ceremony where they brought out the bull. Man is always wanting something to worship. After even all the miracles that the children of Israel sing, what did they say? Gather all the gold, iron, make us a calf, make us something that we can worship. We want to worship something. We've seen nothing. Why does that not sound familiar? We've seen nothing. How would that not feel to God? We've seen nothing. But God says, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Is that not something? That is beyond something. It's beyond words or comprehending what God has done for us. The things that God has done for us, but the children of Israel, all they sing, God opened the Red Sea, God let the death angel pass over, but he saved them by the blood. Like we heard this morning, they applied the blood, they were saved by that blood. They seen the Red Sea opening, they seen many miracles, but they want to worship a golden calf. Doesn't matter, you see, people aren't seeking what's in the building, they're looking at the building, they're looking at the setup. Do you know, do you ever hear that? If somebody goes to some man to get work done, by some setup your boy. Some setup your man. But it wouldn't matter maybe how good he is at his job. There's some boys that some good setups, but they're handless. Sometimes the setup doesn't mean anything. You can have all the setup but no ability. You can have all the flashing lights but nothing behind it. You have to have something in the vessel.
Amen.
There has to be something in the vessel. You have to have the Holy Ghost in the vessel.
Amen.
You have to have something on the inside, and it'll show on the outside.
Amen.
You won't have to put on an act. You won't have to let on that you're something. It'll be coming out of you.
Amen.
It'll be in you, coming out of you, like wells of living water springing forth. Amen. Psalms 105. We'll turn to Psalms 105. Psalms 105. I love these Psalms. You know, isn't it wonderful? Nearly all a lot of the Psalms start out by David. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O give thanks unto the Lord. He thanks the Lord. He blesses the Lord. He reverenced his name. He says in another psalm, holy and reverent is thy name. A name that you can trust upon. A name that is trustworthy. Because it's holy and reverent. Amen. Psalms 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. That's the testimony, isn't it? That's the review. What is the testimony that you're putting forth? What is your review? Have you reviewed the whole thing? And what would the review that you'll write down? I am well pleased with him. He has done all things well for me. I'm well pleased with the Lord. I've never been disappointed in him. You can be disappointed in yourself. You can be disappointed in somebody else, but he's not a disappointment. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Oh, isn't that wonderful? People want to glory in an organization. Our organization done this and done that. Glory in his name. You know, people want to take a man and exalt the man and glory in the man. But the man is just a messenger. If you're just bringing the message, you're only the messenger, but it's the one behind it all. The one behind it all is the one to be praised and exalted and uplifted. He says here, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We'll read on down here. I'll maybe read on down to verses 8. He said, seek the Lord on his strength, seek the face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to the thousand generations. Why, it never changes. People say, oh, why, sure, it's a long time. How long have we heard about Jesus coming? How long have we heard about this and how long have we heard about that? Sure, we've heard that for years. But he says his promises to a thousand generations. You know, Abraham could have sat down and said, how long is it going to take for this child to come? He could have sat down and said, you know, nothing seems to be happening. You know, I'm sure he's seen the transformation in Sarah. He's seen how that God turned her back to a young woman again. He's seen that transformation. And that gave him, I'm sure that gave him strength. But you know what it says? That he believed. And he staggered not at the promise of God. The devil, you know, want to tell you, oh boy, you've been prayed for. Nothing seems to be happening. That's the devil's message all the time. Nothing seems to be happening. It's all doom and gloom. But hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand, for he is dependable. Glory ye in his holy name. David said here, glory in his holy name. Not the kingdom. You know, there was a great kingdom. God rose up a great kingdom with David. It was a mighty kingdom. But David didn't say, look at my wonderful kingdom. Look, glory in it. Glory in him. And give thanks unto God that give him all these things. Glory ye in him. Look at the greatness of his name tonight. Ephesians. We'll turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 5. Verses 5. We'll maybe read on down till verses 5 down to maybe verses 11 or something like that. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made on the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He didn't have to give himself the title. God done it. God has exalted him. God has put him in that position. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator. God became flesh. God took upon him the flesh. He took upon him the form of a man. So that me and you are someone. We have a mediator tonight. We have a representative in the heavens for you. There's one standing at the throne tonight pleading for you. His blood is crying out for you. The stripes he has on his back is for your healing. He took them for you. All that for you. All that for me. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everything will bow. You know, you've got a decision to make now. You can either make the decision now. Don't wait till it's too late. How would it wouldn't be nice if you were brought before the throne of God and he said, depart from me, for I know you not. But you know, he'll know you. If you ever call upon his name, if you ever accept him, the free gift, accept him, take him tonight, accept him. When you accept him, there's a way made. I know I've a lot more scriptures wrote down. I'm not going to read all the scriptures wrote down. But you know, we'll maybe read here, we'll go to Hebrews, because I was thinking about that earlier on in the week for I had it playing in the van. And you know, I love that start of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2. You could read the whole thing. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners speak in times past unto us with the to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He hath appointed him. He's the man over it all. You know, if you go to the business, you'll sit, go into the reception. You might see the foreman, but they'll maybe say you need to go and see the main man. If you go somewhere to do a job, they'll say you need to see the main man. But if you want to have success, you need to see the main man. It's not an organization, it's not a brand, it's not some company, but it's Jesus Christ. He's the one. God hath appointed him heir over all things, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And the right hand speaks of authority, doesn't it? Do you ever hear the saying, that's the right hand man? That boy's the right hand man. He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained what? A more excellent name. It's a name you can trust tonight. Amen. A more excellent name. It's not a name of an organization. It's not a name of a man. Not any man. But Jesus Christ, the God-man. It's a reliable, dependable name. It says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Amen. The very angels worship him. Amen. What should we not do? If the very angels of God worship him, we ought to worship him. His name is dependable and trustworthy. I'm going to read one more portion of scripture and I'm going to come to the close. I don't know what time it is, where I'm long or short or what it is, but I just don't want to tick all night, or I don't want you to go out saying tick all night, get nothing out of it. I want you to get that out of it, that that's a name that's dependable. His name is trustworthy tonight. Romans chapter 10. For anyone tuned in tonight, or anyone that ever hears this, this is the key. You must accept Jesus Christ. His name is dependable. He is a dependable one. You could also read Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 19 down to 23, but I'm not going to do that. It says that he's above all principalities and powers, might and dominion, and every name that is named. He is above all. God has highly exalted him above all. His name is wonderful. You know it says in Romans chapter 10, verses 11, and we'll read down to verses 13. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Why, there's the key. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter, do you have a degree? What education do you have? What do you do or what do you work on? What organization do you go to? It doesn't matter. But it says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between anybody. There's no difference, for he's rich unto all that call upon him. For verses 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, a name that you can trust in it, a name that is trustworthy. And as I said, this word is transparent. It's open. It's not hidden. People would say, oh, if I read the Bible, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. You can't read the Bible like any other book. It's not a story. It's events that have took place. You know, people read books and they're fiction. Fairy tales of some man's imagination. People want a fairy tale story. They want to hear some nice little story like Rockabye Baby to rock them to sleep and everything's real rosy and, you know, they want some nursery rhyme. But the Word of God is actual events. It's the actual living, inspired, infallible, unfaultable Word of the living God. For it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The very Word itself. You know, what did he do? What did Jesus do when he was tempted of the devil? Did he run to see, I better see somebody about this or something? No. It is written. He didn't need another book to tell him what this book said. You know, some people want another book to tell them what this book says. Or they want some other thing. You know, and like, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they had the Torah, which is the five books of Moses. But then there was another thing called the Oral Torah. The Oral Torah was man's idea, probably. And we've got a lot of Oral Torah today. Miracles aren't for today. That's one of the oral ones. God can't do nothing. That's one of them. You know, like that little woman that went to the boys' meeting, she went in for years and presented them at the end with a Bible with a couple of pages in it. There's a good gift for you. Cut everything out. God can't do. She said, cut that out. God doesn't do this. Cut that out. That's not for today. Take that out. And she said, I have a wee gift for you. There's your gift. There's your Bible. What do you buy? That's a bit rough. He thought to himself, he'd got the nice new shiny Bible. He says, the Bible's very thin. She says, well, that's... Every time you said it wasn't for today, I took it out. Every time you said that God couldn't do it, what's the point of it being there? If it's not relevant. But it's all relevant. It's all events. Events that have took place to give you and me encouragement. Every time you open the Word of God, you'll be encouraged. You will be encouraged. If you say, oh boy, nobody's ever went through what I went through. Somebody has. And I'll guarantee you, you'll find it somewhere in the Word of God that some event took place and you'll see the outcome for the one that believes God and the one that will reject God. There's two outcomes tonight. But his name is trustable and dependable. You may stand to your feet tonight. Well, maybe I'll just pray before Brother John or before Pastor comes maybe for any announcements or anything tonight. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks tonight that your name is dependable, Lord. Lord, we thank you that there is a name that's above every name. We thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to pronounce and proclaim that name tonight, to exalt it and to lift it up. Lord, we pray tonight that you will undertake and meet every need in this place tonight, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace, Lord. Lord, I pray if I've said one thing amiss or out of place, Lord, you'll forgive me. Lord, I pray every word of yours, Lord, will sink deep into our thoughts and into our minds. Lord, I pray that someone will be strengthened and encouraged tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, Brother Samuel. And the Bible says that God has highly exalted him. Exalted him. And given him a name which is far above every other name. Far above. It's a name you can trust.
Amen.
Amen. It's a game changer.
Amen.
The world is saying it's a game changer. Well, there's a name that's a game changer. That's the name of Jesus Christ. Call on me in the day of trouble. And I'll deliver you, praise God. I had to apologize to those listening in the night because this phone of mine's updated herself. I can do nothing about it. She's changed the format on me. And they're reading these words back to front. I normally can switch around, but you didn't let me do it tonight. So we apologize to those watching in. I'll have to get the brother-in-law on the job. He's good on the technical side. And we'll get her fixed for next week, the Lord will. But God bless those that's listening in tonight. The Lord meet you every need. And Brother John's going to come in a moment and sing for us a hymn. And I'm telling you, I'm enjoying these hymns. I'm enjoying them. Isn't it great to sing the old hymns? Praise God. They're old, but they're still relevant. They're new. Praise God. And we're going to have a prayer and Bible study Thursday night. Come along. And Sister Carr leaves tonight. I'm running her and the boys down to the airport at 4 in the morning while these are all sleeping in bed. We'll be travelling. Praise God, we'll be travelling on the road. So pray for Sister Carl. It's a long flight to Australia. It's 20-something hours long. And it's hard. If you don't sleep, it's hard. But just pray the Lord will bless them. And take our greetings to the fellowship. Brother Brian and Adelaide and all the different brethren there, we'll send our greetings to all of them. And we just pray that the Lord will bless. And then next week, we'll continue on. God bless each one. There's a Brother John. Come ahead, John. And the Lord bless you, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So we have this 158, take the name of Jesus.
Amen.
With you. And there's an RB course. And I don't know if we could sing it tonight. And it's not fair, maybe just to put it on Sister Alva. But it simply says, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Amen.
It's not a swear word. See, the devil wants to pervert it. It's not right. And if he can't pervert that name, he doesn't want it to be mentioned. But the Bible says, holy and reverent is his name.
Amen.
Holy and reverent is his name. He's not a swear word, but he's the sweetest name I know. Maybe that's in one of the hymns, but the wee chorus says, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise his holy name. I'm going to sing that once or twice over. And then we're going to sing a hymn which you all know. And as I said, don't let that man up here for he doesn't sing anything we know. But listen, you know it's in your heart. You know it in your heart that his is the sweetest name you know. Hallelujah. The angel said, call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And as we've heard tonight, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Sorry, Alva, I don't even know the key for that. I don't even have a clue what the key is. There's the words there, and it says here that it's the key is C, but I don't know. But I know one thing. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so.
Amen.
I only love him tonight because he first loved me.
Amen.
I had no interest in him. He had no interest in me. I couldn't put my hand on him, but he put his hand on me. I'm glad. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Will you sing it in an attitude of worship? tonight. Praise his holy name. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same. Can we sing that, sister? Do you have them? Do you have that there? It's in the key of F, I think. How many people knows this hymn? Oh, everybody knows it. Praise the Lord. You know, we should be able to sing it. We should be able to sing these. We should have them in our hearts. We should be able to sing them without the words. You know, we become reliant on the words and stuff here, don't we? We ought to learn these so we have them in our hearts. What about the Walden Estes learned the Bible? Was able to quote the scriptures without the Bible? God help us to learn the hymns. You know, it's a testimony. Oh, God's so good. God is so good. God is so good, hallelujah, God is so good, hallelujah, God.